It's Movie Time with Kevin Stein. I am so happy to be here today, Kevin. Can I just say that? And I'm especially glad that you could join us because I know you've been ill this week.
Yeah, a bit. I don't want to go into great detail, but I've been kind of a wreck.
Yeah, but you always make it here because you care about us and you love us.
I always make it here. What does that say?
What does that say to all your students?
Well, I was in class today. So
oh, okay. Yeah, good. No, I'm just bringing that up to say that I'm glad that you're on the mend and glad that you made it.
Thank you. I do appreciate that.
Yes. Okay,
we're gonna have fun today, though.
I know. I'm really excited. It makes me clap my hands today because I'm that excited.
Good.
So today we are going to be discussing the best and worst movie lines of all time.
Well, we should clarify, though.
Actually, no. Yeah, not all of them are that old.
No, that's not the clarification.
Oh, okay.
The clarification is I think that title gives people the assumption that we're going to talk about, like, frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a damn, you know, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But we're going to do some of those classics, but a lot of them are just lines that we think are cool.
Yeah, they're our favorite ones.
And
our least favorite. Better?
Yeah, and they would never go on a list anywhere that was written by anybody credible.
Uh-huh.
But we think it's fun. Everybody knows what's on those lists like AFI, and we'll have a couple of those. But
yeah,
for the most part, I'm hoping these movies will be movies like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, and where it's a little bit more obscure.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
I just have to say, just as a general rule, I decided that anything out of the mouths of Vince Vaughn and Will Ferrell are automatic gold.
Really? I would not go that far.
Oh, my gosh. I was reading lines from Anchorman and Old School and everything. I was like, they're so funny.
I like Old School, but, I mean, Will Ferrell, he's still funny, but he's on his way down. He's on the downward slope.
Oh, no.
He's not on the upward slope.
Well, how do you pass Elf, honestly? Elf is amazing.
You can't beat Elf.
Okay. Well, why don't we go ahead and get into this then? And also, our friends in Radio Land and China, if you want to dial internationally.
give them the number.
586-7975, area code 435. I don't know what our international code is.
I think it's zero. Isn't it 00? I thought.
I have no idea. I've never dialed internationally
to the US. If we got a
call from
China, that would be the coolest thing ever.
I'd be like, oh, man.
But for most people in Cedar City, though.
Exactly. 435, area code, 586-7975. Feel free to call in at any point in time and weigh in with some of your favorites and least favorites or commentary on some of ours.
Yeah, we've talked about this. We have a structure today that is really conducive to people calling in whenever they dang well feel like it.
Yes.
So spontaneous. Just call in whenever you want.
Okay. Well, speaking of spontaneous, Kevin, why don't you start us off with one of yours?
Yeah. Okay. Let's do, I like, this is an older movie. But,
okay.
Well, I always forget to do the ones my kids want.
Okay. Do the ones your kids want first.
At the end, I'm always like, oh, shoot. So their favorite line is, do you see it on there?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Go ahead and play it.
Okay. Here it is.
I'm not a big fat panda. I'm the big fat panda.
Yay.
The bad character's like, what are you going to do? You're just a big fat panda. And then at the end, he's like, I'm not a big fat panda.
The fat
that's
panda.
Right. That's,
way to own
that's
it.
That's panda empowerment right there.
Yeah, good job, Po. Way to be.
So
from Kung Fu Panda. That's cute.
That's for you kids.
Yeah, we do have clips for a lot of these, but some of these
Tons
we might just have to say.
Let's do one for fun. Let's do Kindergarten Cop.
Okay, Kindergarten Cop. Now, this one, I saw this when I was a little kid and thought it was a good movie. And then I watched it later and I was like, it has its good elements, but it wasn't as good as I thought it was.
Oh, it holds
but
up.
But this line, I really do like this line. I'll give
classic.
You this for sure.
I have a headache.
It might be a tumor.
It's not a tumor. Not a tumor at all.
That was a slightly bad video or audio, but you get the idea. Everybody loves, I mean, that gets quoted almost as much as the other Arnold Schwarzenegger lines. It's not a tumor.
I know that. And one of my bad lines.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Do you have that one?
I have it on my good list.
Okay. And I'll give you my reasons why, but let's play this. This one, I think, is a bad line.
Hasta la vista, baby.
No.
You're wrong. That's a good one.
No, it is not. Hasta la vista. Why on earth would a cyborg from the future speak Spanish, first of all? Do they speak Spanish in the future everywhere?
You missed the you totally missed the context.
Fine, give me the context.
Do you remember where he, not when he says the line, but how he learned that he should say that line?
No, I don't remember.
Edward Furlong, John Connors, the young version in T2, he's teaching them that he's got to have better lines when he and he's funny. Okay. He's like, you got to say something like this, and he's imitating a Hispanic character. He's like, hasta la vista, baby, something like that. And so because of his friendship with the young John Connor, who's teaching him stuff, that's why he says the line.
Okay.
He's not saying it because he had a meeting with a bad screenwriter who just decided you should say something like hasta la vista. Let's throw that in the script. It had a purpose.
Okay, well, I'll justify it the other way. I do buy that explanation, and that does sway me a bit because I think that it is good to have it in context. I think that mainly my hatred of it stems from all the people who thought that they were as cool as Arnold Schwarzenegger and would say it all the time throughout all of the 90s and still even sometimes today. Like all these stupid wannabes, and I'm just like, stop it. And I got so sick of the phrase itself, and I'm just like, that
try
I still
to,
hate
try
it.
Try to say it as cool as you can right now.
Like him?
As cool as you can, that's that phrase.
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger's pretty cool. I'll try and do it like him. Hasta la vista, baby.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I thought you just had a thing against Hispanic people or something.
No, I love Hispanic people. I actually have a crush on a Hispanic guy now.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
he just moved to the top of the crush list, too.
Really?
I booted number one out. He was being a jerk today.
Hellboy is gone now?
Oh, no. Hellboy and Wolverine are standard.
Oh, you meant like top of the real person list.
Legitimate guy that I know. Yeah, but he got booted out. So now there's room on the crush list if you know anyone.
Do you want to do a shout out to this person, or is it your secret admirer?
To the Hispanic guy there?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's leaving town this weekend anyway. So if he's listening,
so
he knows who he is now.
Oh. Uh-oh. Call in, Mr. Hispanic man. Ask Angie out on a date.
Okay, moving on.
Okay, this conversation is going to have no purpose for the people in China.
No, it's not. But it does for me.
Okay.
So anyway, okay, I have also found that there are certain movies that are just, the entire movie is quotable. Mm-hmm. Now this one, The Big Lebowski.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, The Big Lebowski is seriously freaking hilarious. There's this one guy that I used to date in high school that made me watch this movie when it came out, and I was like, oh my gosh, marry me now. You had me watch this movie. That's awesome. We didn't actually, but we were chatting the other day on Facebook. But yeah, so he made me watch The Big Lebowski, and it was hilarious the entire time. You got Jeff Bridges as the dude. That's his name, the dude.
Yeah.
And so he says all sorts of really funny things. So for instance, here's one of my favorites that he does, because this person is talking to him.
Okay.
And the person says, what do you do for recreation? And then he says, oh, the usual. I bowl, drive around, the occasional acid flashback. I'm like, dude, you're so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's this whole thing. If you've seen the movie, you know about the rug that tied the room together. Uh-huh. Love it. Everything about the rug. It just holds its own special place in my heart. But there's this one conversation that kind of gives you a good idea, a little bit more of what this movie is like. There's this conversation that they have, and they're trying to do this whole threatening thing of where they need a human toe, basically, is what they do, as this threat against the other people. So this guy is saying, you want a toe? I can get you a toe, believe me. There are ways, dude. You don't want to know about it, believe me. And then he's like, yeah, but Walter, because he's not all the way on board. And then he's like, hell, I can get you a toe by 3 o'clock this afternoon with nail polish.
That's so funny.
Like, what?
That movie didn't actually do that well in the theater, but it's become a cult classic.
Cult classic. Totally. Yeah. All right. So why don't you give me a couple more of yours?
Okay.
What else do
let's
you got?
Do one of my favorites, Happy Gilmore.
Oh, I love Happy Gilmore.
That's number two.
Okay. Because for that, a lot of people were dogging on Adam Sandler lines, and I had a couple lines that I don't think are as strong, but this one, this is classic.
I love this one.
Classic.
Son of a ball, why didn't you just go home? That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Yeah, some of the Adam Sandler movies I don't like that much, but
I'm kicking headphones, sorry.
Okay. Some of them I don't like that much. Billy Madison, we've talked about. I hated that movie. But but I think Happy Gilmore and Wedding Singer are just almost four-star comedies.
The
They're really good.
Oh, yeah, and every single time I go play miniature golf, I quote Happy Gilmore incessantly.
That movie has so many lines in it.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo. I almost put, the price is wrong, bitch.
I like the part where he has that dream. We've only just begun. And then he gets out of the dream. He stops daydreaming. He's like, the way I see it, Shooter, we've only just begun.
I know, it gives me the goosebumps.
See, that's good.
Awesome. Yeah, okay. So there's some good ones. Why don't we trade off and do a few bad ones for a minute here?
Okay. We did one a couple weeks ago for I can't remember what show it was, but we talked about movies that made way more than they deserved to make, and it was Ghost. So I didn't bring in the line because we already played it, but I hate the part where he says, "I love you, Molly," and she goes, "Ditto." I think that's the worst line ever.
That one, okay, along that then, I'm going to say that that's a good line for the same reasons that you said it was a good line in Terminator, because if you put it in the context, because that was the fun little turnaround transition, because all along she had always say, "I love you," and he says, "Ditto," but this time it was him, and they could take turns. Maybe I'm a girl. Am I just being a girl?
Yeah,
okay,
you are.
But here's the thing. I hate you had me at hello.
I love that.
I don't know.
Oh,
it just
actually,
really bothered me.
I was watching that clip over again, and I'm starting to move to your side. Let's play the clip, and then I'll tell you my problem with it, because it's a visual problem. So
okay, a visual. Oh, all right. So we're not necessarily going to pick it up in this, but we'll talk about it. Okay, you had me at hello.
Shut up. Just shut up. You had me at hello.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, here's the problem. He walks in the door, and he says, hello to all the, you know, she's with all those women that are supposed to be her moral support. There's no more threatening environment than that. A bunch of women that are looking at you like you're a dog. But he walks in, he's like, hello. And then she's looking at him like, what are you doing here? Like she had this angry look on her face. And then later she's like, you had me out. Hello. Well, that's bull because
you see her face.
Her nonverbals are like, so that's
because that's a lot of the reason why I didn't do it either, because or why I think it's bad too, because it didn't feel genuine based in its context.
Based on her reactions. I like the line though.
Right.
But I don't think that fit with the nonverbals.
Okay. Well, I have one that reminds me of though, that's from The Empire Strikes Back that I love. Since we're talking about loving people and stuff. Okay, I have to play this one.
I love you.
I know.
Sometime at some point in my life I'm totally gonna say that.
You know what? Oh, that would be good.
Yeah, it really would be.
Maybe to this Hispanic kid.
Ooh.
as you were playing that clip, I was thinking maybe one of the things that makes lines good, this didn't occur to me until just then, but it could be something where they take a conventional line, a cliched line, and then do a twist on it. Because you'd expect him to say, I love you too, and then he says something totally different.
Yeah. I'm going to go with that.
I think that's one of the I don't know.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though. Okay, going back to bad lines, though, Star Wars is full of those, too. I love Star Wars, but the prequels in particular really are pretty crappy.
Yeah.
So this one of my worst lines, this was terrible.
Who wrote those, by the way?
I don't know.
Probably George Lucas.
Yeah, his dialogue is so clunky and terrible.
Oh, he's a horrible writer.
Yeah, his stories and ideas are really cool, but the actual execution of it, because it even gave Hayden Christensen and Natalie Portman a bad name. It tarnished their reputations.
They're pretty good actors,
too. Yeah, they're really good, especially Natalie.
Well,
I think
Hayden's a decent actor, and she's a phenomenal actor.
Yes, I agree. Yes. Okay, so in Star Wars Episode 2, it's where they're supposed to be like a flirtatious and
Which
everything.
Which one was
and they're
that
having,
again?
Like,
the attack of the
something. Clones.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. So that one, it's the one where they make out, Kevin.
I don't remember that at all.
Okay, so anyway. And it's also the one that justifies me liking younger guys, too.
Well, as long as you have some kind of excuse.
Exactly. I got to have some sort of benchmark. But if a guy ever said this to me, I would boot him off my crush list, too. This is what he says. This is him trying to come on to Amidala.
All right,
he says, I don't like sand. It's coarse and rough and irritating, and it gets everywhere. Not like here. And then he's like touching her arm and stuff, like all caressing. And he's like, here, everything's soft and smooth. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
That's a horrible, horrible line.
Horrible.
That's really bad.
Yeah. Really? He should have just quoted Casablanca and said, here's looking at you, kid, because that line is awesome.
Yeah. Well, but you can't reuse it. So you're going to have to do a twist on it, right? So
yes.
Here's looking at you, I don't know.
Natalie?
No, character name.
Oh, Amidala. There you go. Or
there's
bad
one
name.
Line that I don't think is necessarily bad.
Okay.
I just don't get it.
Okay, what? Maybe
remember,
I can help.
Remember in The Matrix where Mr. Anderson says something like to him, do you hear that? That's the sound of inevitability. And I'm like,
mostly I liked your face when you did that. It was very ominous.
I'm kind of a philosophical guy.
Uh-huh.
I don't get what inevitability sounds like.
I don't know. Tense panic?
It's one of those things where they wrote it and it kind of comes off the page like, that sounds cool. The sound of inevitability.
Uh-huh.
Because it has
But then really when you actually analyze
it. Yeah, when you're thinking about it, you're like, well, what does that sound like?
It's true.
Hey,
we need
some callers. We need some input on this. If you have a line that we're missing that's one of your favorites.
Or least favorites.
A line that you think is just dumb.
586-7975.
Yeah, and there are no wrong answers. There are no stupid answers. Unless you pick something from Goodfellas or Braveheart.
And then say that it's bad?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I'm not doing Goodfellas because we're doing Martin Scorsese Day later. Okay. And I have a bunch from Taxi Driver and Goodfellas. Ooh. But I do want to do the Braveheart one.
Okay, the Braveheart
one. My
favorite
character is that Longshanks, Edward the First.
Okay, so Braveheart.
If he can sack York, he can invade Lower England.
We will stop him.
Who is this person who speaks to me as though I needed his advice?
Okay. As though I needed his advice. So we got a caller. Why don't we find out what this person thinks? All right. Who do we have on the line?
This is Jay.
Jay. Hi, Jay. Hey, so Jay. Why don't you weigh in the conversation here? What's a best or worst line, in your opinion?
I think the best line is from Tombstone when Doc Holliday says, "I'm your Huckleberry."
Oh yeah,
oh, that is good. Well, if we're talking Tombstone lines too, I love it when he's fighting Billy Bob Thornton and he's like, "Are you gonna do something or just stand there and bleed?"
Yeah, and then another Tombstone line that I love is where he says, "Well, there are two of us and only one of you," or something like that. I might be butchering it, but then he goes, "I got two guns." One for each.
Yeah.
I love that one. That's a good one.
Good call, man. Yeah. Appreciate that, Jade. You got a bad one? Or are you just focusing on the good right now?
I didn't think of a bad one.
Okay. Well, thank you for weighing in on the good one. You hit something that we missed. Good job.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Have a good one.
Yeah.
You too.
Yeah, that's pretty fun.
I didn't put Tombstone down. That's full of good lines.
True.
I did that. Are you going to stand there and bleed one before?
I know, it's so
with
good.
Guy movies.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It makes me shake my
going
fist.
Going back to that Braveheart one,
okay,
though.
The advice one?
I just think that's the coolest, most insulting thing you can say to somebody. And I'd love to say that to somebody in a modern context.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to be rude or anything, but who is this person who speaks to me as though I needed his advice?
I think that just
that
inherently
awesome.
Is rude. I'll tell you, Kevin, I will tell you a movie line, speaking of my bizarre little love life that I have, that I actually did use on a guy that I took from Gross Point Blank.
Ah.
Okay, because in Gross Point Blank, John Cusack is trying to hook back up with Minnie Driver because they had gone out once upon a time and then he went and became a hitman and everything and then came back to the reunion. And so she's like all upset at him and everything because he's being a jerk. And then so the line that she says that I used on a guy was, "You don't get to have me." I really totally used it. And he was like, "Oh," and then like ran away.
That's brutal.
I know. He was a jerk to me.
But if
he
you're that Hispanic kid, then she
oh, no,
will
it's
not say
him.
That to you.
Oh, no, he's great to me already.
Well, yeah. one of the lines we definitely agree on, because Angie and I always do our lists totally separately, and then we come together and kind of see what each other
Yeah, where
have.
We match up.
But one of them we both really like a lot is from Pulp Fiction.
Oh,
it's
yes.
Where they're waiting around for a long time, and they go in at 7 in the morning they're supposed to, I guess.
To go to the diner? Is that the...
No,
when they're going to the
apartment.
Top of the guys who are eating the hamburger.
Yeah, the hamburgers.
Yeah, okay.
So let's do it.
Yes, I do love Pulp Fiction.
What does Marcellus Wallace look like?
What?
What country are you from?
What?
What ain't no country I ever heard of. They speak English and what?
What?
English, mother! Do you speak it?
Yes!
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes!
Describe what Marcellus Wallace looks like.
What?
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, mother. Say what one more time.
He's black.
Go on.
He's bald.
Does he look like a...
What?
he said what again?
He warned him. He warned. Yeah.
There
Samuel
are so
Jackson
many good lines
so
from that.
Dang cool in that.
Yeah, even his wallet is cool. Which wallet is it? The one that says bad mother effer.
Obviously.
Yeah, you know? Clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but I have to represent a female line that I really like. I got to include my ladies in this.
I feel bad that I'm always going to the guy movie lines.
No, that's okay. I usually do too.
And you have to get me back
on track.
It's okay.
It's why we're here. We balance each other out.
I don't know if I even have one woman line on here.
I pulled out a few of them. This is one that I really like, and I dedicate this to my former roommate, Harmony, because we would watch this part and rewind it and watch it and rewind it and watch it over and over again. At the end of Bridget Jones's Diary, which I love. It's one of the few chick flicks I totally adore, and I own both books, both movies,
really?
Even a special edition of the first movie.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I don't mess around. I love my Bridget. Okay, so anyway, this is the line of where, because the whole premise of the movie, this might be a little spoiler if you haven't seen it, so you can plug your ears, but the whole movie, she has the good guy and the bad guy. Basically, she has angel food cake versus devil food cake. And she's trying to figure out which one she wants to go for. So eventually, in the end, she winds up with angel food cake guy. And so she's there, and then so it was this whole horrible little misunderstanding and everything, and she ends up chasing him out in the streets in the snowy streets in her underwear.
I remember that part.
Yeah. And then so they like start talking and everything, and then they end up kissing. Really good kiss scene too, by the way. But she like pauses after they've been kissing for a second and says, "Wait a minute. Nice boys don't kiss like that." And then this guy says, "Oh, yes, they effing do." It makes me giggle like a girl. It's awesome. Yeah,
that's funny. Yeah. Well, let me do it's one that great. I didn't have a clip for, but okay. I love this. I love this movie, Lean on Me, with Morgan Freeman. You know, the one where he's the principal and he goes in to clean up the school.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, the students like love him by the end of the movie, and they end up arresting him for putting chains on the doors to keep the drug dealers out of the school.
Uh-huh.
So they arrest him for violating the fire code, and all the students show up at the jail and they're chanting, "Free Mr. Clark, free Mr. Clark." And then the mayor comes in there, and he's like, "You've got to do something. You got to talk to these kids. Make them talk some sense into them." He goes, "I don't got to do nothing but stay black and die." I couldn't find it, but that's one of my favorite
lines ever. Is great. That is great. I'll tell you another one of where it's like, it's a tough guy line coming from a woman.
Oh, is it Linda Hamilton?
No, although I like her too.
Is it Ripley again?
No, I like her too.
Oh.
This is Beatrix Kiddo from the Kill Bill movies.
Oh, yeah.
Uma Thurman. Oh, my gosh.
I tried to find this one. I couldn't find it.
I love her. Okay, so this is the scene where she has been fighting the crazy 88.
Yeah.
And then so, like, she's there with her sword, and she's just chopping them all up. And it's really almost comical. Like, it's merely a flesh wound. Monty Python blood.
It's ridiculous in terms of the amount of
violence.
Yeah,
that's a good line, too. So she's there, and she's basically taken out this entire mob of bad guys single-handedly. And so she's standing up there at the top and like announcing to them as they're all writhing on the floor in pain and everything. And there's like scattered, severed limbs everywhere. And so she's like giving this announcement sort of thing from the top of telling them like all to go and pass the word along. I ain't messing around kind of thing.
Yeah.
But what she does, what she says that I absolutely love is, "But leave the limbs you've lost. They belong to me now." Like, she's going to scoop up those arms and take them off and hang them on the wall.
Like they would want them.
Well, they can't carry them anyway.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, thank
you. One thing I liked about that scene, though, besides the line, is that a lot of movies you see somebody like wounded in that way, where it's not like in the chest or the torso. They get limbs cut off, and for some reason they just die. Like, and so to see all those guys violently slaughtered with their arms and legs cut off, but they're still like wiggling around the floor. That struck me as authentic. I don't know why.
I think it is. I don't know. I think so too.
Yeah.
I have one line that I promised Joey the sports guy that I would bring up, because this was one of my all-time favorite lines.
This is not Joey, the one that insulted you a couple weeks ago with the letter, right? Different Joey?
Oh, different Joey. No, this is Joey Beck, our sports guy at the University Journal.
Okay.
He and Carter and I on Tuesday night were bonding and trying to find all these lines, and this is one of them that we came up with. There's this movie called Totally Awesome that VH1 made. Have you seen that movie? It makes fun of 80s movies.
I don't think so.
Okay, it's really funny and really not politically correct, but it knows that it's not, so it's okay.
Oh.
Yeah. So basically, the premise of it is that this brother and sister move into this town, and they're like the nerdy white kids and everything, and he wants to be cool because he really likes this girl and wants to impress her, and he's like, who can teach me how to be cool? And he sees Tracy Morgan from 30 Rock, Tracy Morgan and one of his guy friends there too, and they're like all chatting with each other and everything, and he's like, I need to go and talk talk to them because I can be cool like a black guy. And so this, I promise, I'm not trying to be offensive, but it's just, it was so unique of a line, it has to be mentioned. Basically, the white kid is trying to say, I understand what it means to be black now. And Tracy Morgan is like, no, you don't know what it's like to be black. And he has this whole string of really horrible things, actually, that he says, but they're really kind of funny. I'm digging myself into a hole already, aren't I? Okay, but anyway,
we'll see.
One of the things that he says, trying to say an example of how he doesn't understand what it's like to be a black guy, is Tracy Morgan says, have you ever broke a Puerto Rican dude's arm for sweatpants money? It's like, what? That makes no sense, and
that's,
it's so crazy.
That's very random and very political.
I know. You ever broke a Puerto Rican dude's arm for sweatpants money? How does that even make you black anyway? I don't know. But it was just such an unusual movie line that really sticks with you, and you laugh because it's so crazy and extreme. Yeah. That was bad. Sorry. But I had to share it because it's so funny.
That's a tribute to Joey.
Yes, out to Joey. And one to my sister from The Sandlot. Oh. Forever.
Forever.
Mm, yes.
Very well articulated.
Thank you.
Let's do a couple audio clips, if
we
can.
Got it.
We've been doing a lot of our performing, which is probably secondary to the real one. At least in my case. One of my favorite movies is My Cousin Vinny. There are 100 lines in this.
Oh, yeah,
but
the whole thing.
This one I always tend to remember. I don't know why.
Okay.
Is it possible the two utes...
To what? what was that word?
What word?
To what?
What?
Did you say utes?
Yeah, two utes.
What is a ute?
Oh, excuse me, Your Honor. Two youths. Is it possible the two defendants...
There you go.
And then he looks at him all obnoxious. Fine, I'll change what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's true. It's a good one. Now, I'll tell you one that is probably much less refined even than Vinny that we have an audio clip for.
Okay.
Dumb and Dumber is another one of those that is full of so many lines.
Tons of lines.
And this one, I think, is hilarious, too.
Oh, that's it. I've had it with this dump. We got no food. We got no jobs. Our pets' heads are falling off!
Poor Petey, pretty bird. Oh, that's terrible. Okay, all right. Well, why don't we go ahead and pick like one or two more each so we can wrap up.
Yeah, let's do one each. One good and one bad.
Okay.
There's one movie I really want to push. I have my list of favorite movies.
Uh-huh.
But this is actually, it's not my favorite movie. It's probably in my top 20, but it's my favorite scene of all time.
Okay, tell us about it.
And it's this movie, Glengarry Glen Ross. I don't know if you've seen it.
Is that the one where it's like he's a cross-dresser?
No.
No.
That's Glenn or Glenda. Right?
Oh, the other Glenn one. Okay.
But these guys are salesmen. They've got these leads to sell real estate, and they're doing really lousy. So they bring in Alec Baldwin to come in and give him a sales talk. And he is just, he cusses at him. He yells at him. I think it's the best thing Alec Baldwin's ever done.
Okay.
But I got a small clip from that.
Okay.
The leads are weak.
The leads are weak. Leads are weak. You're weak. I've been in this business 15 years.
What's your name?
Fuck you. That's my name. You know why, mister? Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW. That's my name.
That's his name.
Yeah. Go on to you. I tried to edit that. It was more like, fa you, but it did. You can fill in the blanks.
Angie, okay. Angie, for editing.
You kind of jumped like, I don't know if that was well edited.
No, it was okay. It was okay.
But go on to YouTube and type in Glengarry Glen Ross Alec Baldwin. And there's so many clips of it because it's so popular.
I'm going to have to add that one to my Netflix queue on your recommendation because I have not seen that one.
Yeah, I'd like to push that as a movie that most people probably haven't seen. It's got Jack Lemmon, Kevin Spacey, Al Pacino, Ed Harris. Just
nice. That's
Alan
a good
Arkin.
Lineup.
I mean, awesome.
It's pretty solid.
Cast.
Okay, yeah. So what's your bad one?
My last bad one is going to be from Top Gun.
Oh, no. Is it the one that I like?
Yeah, but you left part of it out.
Okay.
You left the part out that really makes it stupid. Okay. let me try to do it. Okay.
Okay.
I'll try to do Kelly McGillis. Alberta.
Okay.
Maverick, you big stud. Take me to bed or lose me forever.
You big stud.
Yeah, but you wrote down take me to bed or lose me forever.
Yeah.
Which is only kind of bad, but when you combine it with the other part.
Okay, with the other part, it makes it bad. Okay, but without the first part that makes it real cheesy.
But you can't take that out. It's a separate sentence. No. They're right next to each other. And you don't call anybody a stud anymore. What's the dictionary definition of stud anyway?
Something to keep your wall up.
Isn't like a male horse or something like that that's used for breeding? One. So it's kind of an interesting thing to say to somebody. You're a stud. Take me to bed. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay.
Okay, let's
All right,
yours.
I'm going to do my bad one, and then I'll end with the good one.
Oh.
Okay. So the other bad one, I love X-Men. I love all things X-Men. I watched the cartoon growing up, everything. I love it. I do not love some of the lines in some of the movies. This is one line that I think is the most retarded thing ever. Oh my gosh, I am being so offensive. Really stupid. I'm so sorry.
Why'd you say that?
I don't know. I need to edit that out. I think I picked it up from one of my friends.
The only person that can get away with that is Obama.
It's true. He did do that. Gosh. Okay. And my best line, I'll go ahead and offend religious people too. Why don't we do that?
Go ahead.
Okay. But my bad line first.
This won't offend them. I know what this line is.
No, this one won't from X-Men. This is not offensive. It's just dumb. Okay. When Storm is fighting everybody at the end and it's like the whole part where she's getting all the electricity and everything and she's fighting the dude who's actually Darth Maul, Ray Park.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Where she's fighting him as Toad. She says, do you know what happens to a toad when it's struck by lightning? The same thing that happens to everything else. And then zaps him and then he's gone. That's so stupid. It was so anticlimactic.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
I mean, I kind of do. But
yeah, I know. It was dumb.
Is that what happens to everything else when it's struck by lightning?
I guess it fries and falls.
They don't disappear like he did, so that doesn't make sense.
Well, he didn't disappear. I think he fell, didn't he?
Oh.
I don't remember. It was dumb. I blocked it from my memory.
That's leaving too much to our own imaginations.
All right.
If you want to do that, read a book.
If you need imagination. That's funny. You're funny. Okay, so then this one, dedicated to my friend DJ, who also introduced me to the Big Lebowski.
You have a lot of friends.
I do. This was a collaborative
effort. I
always
come in here and say, my kids were telling me about this. And you're like, my friend DJ and Joey. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they're all guy friends, too, aren't they?
Yeah.
I like being one of the boys. I like it. It's fun for me. It's good camaraderie. Okay, so here's this one. Now, this movie is called Dead Alive. Also, it's foreign title because Brain Dead.
Brain Dead.
Yeah, Brain Dead.
Are you sure it's Brain Dead?
No, it's not.
It's Brainiac.
Brain something. It's not Brainiac.
It's not?
No.
Oh,
it's Brain Something, though.
Okay.
Okay, but anyway.
But it's Peter Jackson.
Yeah, Peter Jackson, who did all the Lord of the Rings movies and the new King Kong and everything, and is going to do The Hobbit. So this is Peter Jackson. This is one of his very earliest creations ever.
And it's horrible.
Now this movie, it's so horrible. It's so pushed to the extreme, over-the-top, ridiculous, bloodiest movie I've ever seen.
It's
really bloody. If you've seen the director's cut, because the rated R version cuts out half of the movie even. It's that bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really bad. But DJ, of course, had the collector's edition director's cut.
I don't know which one I've seen.
So you've probably seen the American version that has everything cut out of it, and it doesn't even make sense. But the premise of the movie, just so you know how over the top it is basically there's this rat monkey from Sumatra that bites the main guy, Lionel, bites his mother, and turns her into a zombie. And so this whole thing, it's all zombies all over.
Lionel is the bad guy?
Yeah, his name is Lionel and his girlfriend is named Paquita.
I love that. Lionel's the bad guy.
Yeah, me too.
Because I only know one other Lionel and I could see him being a bad guy.
What if he's listening? Well, if he had a girlfriend named Paquita, that would be fun.
I think he does have a girlfriend. No, I'm just kidding. He doesn't.
Yeah. So this whole premise is that they're trying to fight the zombies. And at one point, they go to this church because they're trying to have some sort of like sanctuary refuge thing. So they go there and they're enlisting the priest to come and fight the zombies. So there's all these like punk rocker zombies that are knocking over headstones and everything in the cemetery and being real disrespectful. And then so this preacher guy comes out there and starts beating up, like kicking the trash of all these punk rocker guys. And this is the line. It's highly enjoyable, semi-offensive, but because it's so crazy, It's a little funnier. This is just me trying to justify being offensive today. But anyway, so this priest comes out and is like karate chopping all these bad zombies and everything in the cemetery. And he says, this is his line that he says, "I kick ass for the Lord." And I'm like, what? It's so ridiculous. I love it so much.
That's funny.
Yeah, so
you
anyway,
have to be in the right mood for that one.
Oh, yeah, late at night especially.
So if you're going to take any movie that you've talked about today and say, go rent this video if you haven't seen it. Is that the one? Because I've suggested Glengarry Glenn Ross. I'm wondering what
I would say Big Lebowski. Because I think that's one that's worth seeing that most people haven't, but that is highly appreciable. It says a lot of bad words in it, though, so beware.
Yeah, a lot of profanity, and it is the Coen brothers, so if you're familiar with any of their other movies and you don't like them, this fits right in there.
Big
Lebowski won't like it.
With the dude.
With the dude, yeah.
Awesome.
Jeff Bridges. I'm excited to see him in Tron 2.0 or whatever they're going to call
it. Yeah, it'll be amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm so excited I had to whisper right then.
Why? Because you're trying to keep something a secret, even though you're on the radio?
No, just because it deserves reverence. I have to
whisper. That.
Okay, so what are we doing next week? Do we know? And then we'll go ahead and close up shop for the day.
Well, if my dad's going to be in town, he's a Martin Scorsese expert, so he's coming into the studio. But if he's not, then we'll come up with something else. If he's out of town, then we're going to switch up and do Sports Movie Week, and we'll have Tony back for the rematch.
The
tiebreaker.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But in the meantime, thanks for being here again, Kevin.
Thank you. It was fun.
Have a good one. Right,
this has been a production of Movie Time with Kevin Stein here on Angie's Regular Airship.